Hey, welcome to Not For Nothing with your host.
I'm ready for it.
Chris and Chris. I paid you back with that janky countdown.
Yeah, you did. You really did. You got me.
April Fools.
Oh, ho, ho.
Chris, what's your thoughts on April Fools?
Oh, God. Are we past this as a civilization? Are we past this fucking...
I knew you would hate it. I knew you would hate April.
It's right up there with St. Patrick's Day.
Wow.
Honestly, it's all like the spring
hating
faux
St. Patrick's
holiday.
Day is a little racist, but yeah. Here's... Yeah.
It's always the spring ones. They're all stupid. They don't actually get you a day off.
Yeah,
but
April
these
Fool's...
These celebratory days of, like, whatever.
April Fool's sneaks up on you. That's the best part of it. Like,
except for nobody does anything funny anymore.
Well, yet. So here's my issue with it, because I know you didn't ask. It's just been co-opted. Yeah, exactly. You know when people ask you a question so they can answer it? Mm-hmm. It's also, I was pandering. But April Fool's Day, I've noticed this last one, maybe this has always been the case, has been co-opted by consumerism. Like, it's a commercial holiday. Like, they couldn't just leave something that was just tomfoolery. Just, oh, I rubber banded the spray nozzle on my hose. Whatever, you know? On your sink. So it sprays your significant other. You're like, woohoo! April Fools. I have cancer. April Fools. Now it's just every brand has like a, oh, look, it's a, like Adidas did like a fake drop, you know? And it's just a way to get people like, I'm like, what? They've already invented holidays for you to sell shit. Like, that's the point of 90% of the holidays we have in America. Yeah. April Fool's is just supposed to be something dumb to like break up the monotony. And they're like, no, we found a way.
We're going to market this.
We found a way to be silly and get your attention. Can you believe they're going to use drones to drop off my DoorDash? Oh, they're not. April Fool's. It's like the fucking worst. I hate that shit.
See?
So I'm out on April Fool's. I was so turned off by it. I didn't do a single fool.
Have you done one every year up till?
Oh, no. Usually I just look for a way to like make it gross. I did do one April Fool, but I just waited for the opportunity. Like, there, we were working on this film shoot, and there's a piece of art in the lobby that they had to use. Like, it's apparently an important piece of art. So we had to hire art handlers to come wrap it, take it down for the scene. And then when they put it back up, I was the only one around. I was like, oh, I'm going to go check on the art handlers. And I texted a picture, and I was like, I just flipped it upside down. And I was like, they hung it upside down. And the site rep was like, oh, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Yeah. So I just waited for the opportunity.
Okay.
And then I was like.
Was actually on Monday, though?
Yeah, it was on April Fool's Day. The day of the fool. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty good, right?
I guess.
Pretty not good, right? Pretty hacky.
Yeah, I just...
Wasn't
like,
even good.
Thing.
Pranks are hacky.
Yeah. Right? Like, unless this is some epic prank. Like, not everybody should be doing April Fools. You know, like, it's like not everybody can be
myself
a comedian
included.
Tell a joke. You know?
But like, it's not even a joke. That's the thing, is you have to do something, like, hacky. Like, you have to, like, plan ahead, try to trick someone, then they feel dumb, and then you laugh? Like, a joke is something that makes someone else laugh, but an April Fool makes the person telling the joke laugh.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But I think as long as it's not like that, I don't like the ones where they make you feel dumb or you make your significant
That's what it is, though. What else? You're like, a guy walks into a bar, April Fools. You know, like, it's not like that kind of thing. It's a different kind of humor.
It is, in a way, I think, but it doesn't have to be so personal or something either, though, I think.
Oh, you
and
could
I think that's
be in on
people,
it.
People make it personal.
You could be like, did you hear COVID? There's a new strain. And then you're like, we're so, all in, just kidding.
We can't even come up with good examples or ideas because it's not so easy, to, I think, to pull off like a good, like, you
well,
know.
Well, then maybe it is, maybe we're the problem with April Fool's Day.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what my point I was getting to is because 99% of the people don't know actually probably how to actually really do this or pull it off effectively, or they don't put enough time or effort into it, or they're not creative enough or funny enough to do it.
Hmm. What if you just like ran into the bedroom at like 12:01 on April Fool's and was like, someone's in the house.
No, man.
With like baseball bat. It'd be like,
no, my wife would be scared as shit.
I know, but then you'd be like, April Fool's, bing-a-ding, laugh, ha-ha-ha. It's over.
Fooled, that would go over really well.
Fooled you. Will you do that next year? I'll come over and like rustle around. We'll be elaborate as fuck with it. I'll have a mask, whole thing.
A mask on?
Yeah. Just a fucking, yeah. Like one of the, yeah, just naked with a mask. Naked and afraid. And you'll be like, you'll get your baseball bat. And it'll be like, get out of here. And I'll go, sorry, I can't. Not till I get what I want. I want to be in character, if that's
my lucky charms.
Wait, is this not St. Patrick's Day? Oh, I'm late. I got to go. There's another holiday where we do this. With corned beef hash. Or whatever it is. Corned beef and cabbage.
Corned beef and cabbage.
I like corned beef, but I don't like it in a cabbage environment.
You like it once a year?
No, I don't eat it on that day. I like corned beef hash. I eat that shit all the time.
Corned beef hash, I'll eat.
Yeah, that shit's great.
Yeah.
So that's but that's the only form of a corned beef I'm interested in.
Yes.
You know.
Any other kind of corned beef is or beef that's anything else that's corned or beef? Well,
corned just means peppercorned. I learned this. So it's just another brining process, but it uses peppercorn. So really, all it is brisket, you know, but like a lamer one, But like in Baltimore, it's corned beef, and in New York, it's pastrami. It's kind of the same thing, but for some reason. On St. Patrick's Day, it's fucking gross. And I don't know why.
Because it's fucking, it's like the...
A steam tray.
They don't flavor it.
Yeah. The Jews, they flavor the shit out of it. They make it nice and salty and juicy, and they put the fucking slather the pickles and make it all sour and delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Irish are just like, how do we dry this out, put it in a steam tray, and serve it with soggy lettuce? And they're like,
yeah. Oh. I think anything north of like the... Some 48th parallel or something like that, where it's all like it's the Irish and the Scandinavians and stuff. Everything's bland and boring and like white.
Yeah, they're like, we got to figure out a way
because it's all like fucking potatoes and fish. Like, they don't have it. I don't think they can grow seasons or like anything, any sort of little plants that help season your stuff, like you know, tarragons or rosemaries or anything.
I used to watch this weird Norwegian cooking show.
Oh, was it on like PBS or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this guy would always be outside. It looked cold as fuck. And he would just serve like bland ass fish on a rock.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
And don't get me wrong. Like it would to very time consuming. Like he was like basically making like gorgeous, like what would be a fish charcuterie board basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you'd be like, but I still not sure I want that.
Yeah.
It looks freezing cold and bland.
Yeah, and he's like super awkward too. Like he
he
could speak English really well, but he's not. I don't know if he's sure of himself, or he has like a weird like speech pattern or something.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not the only one. I can't.
Oh,
remember
I used to love
that
show.
Really?
Yeah. Every once in a while, I was like, wow, that actually looks pretty good. Like I'll try. Maybe I should try to make that. And then I'm like, there's no way I'm fucking. It's not.
It's also $30,000. Like it's like you have to put. He would do like some like. Like salted potatoes, maybe, and then put like caviar on top.
Yeah.
And like a single chive.
Yeah.
And you're like,
that's the only way they can spice things up.
Yeah. And you'd be like, well, that's going to cost a lot of money. I don't think I'll have the money for the rock shrimp he's prepared in a course of a half an hour.
Yeah. Everything was like not cooked.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah. Yeah, he's like, well, we're going to do this like a raw ceviche style.
Yeah.
Of Norwegian ceviche. Like,
yeah.
That's because, yeah.
Yeah, he would rarely cook, and it always looked cold as fuck. Like he's like, now I'm under a boat in the Antarctic. I'm gonna catch some crab and teach you how to not cook them. It'll take 9 days.
Oh man,
so buckle up.
was amazing.
Wow, I don't know how we got there. We're just a couple Norwegians out here shitting on other holidays.
Yeah.
The Norwegian Independence Day, right? That's coming up.
May 17th.
Yeah, May 17th.
We'll shit on that one too.
We'll be together.
Yes, we will.
Sadly enough.
Yeah, with power tools.
Yeah, with power tools. All right, so we got April Fool's Day out of the way, which is nice. Let me see real quick. I want to look at my notes here. Sorry, a little inside baseball, if you know what I mean. Nope. All right, you go.
Baseball?
Well, I mean, we could talk about baseball, you know.
Just kidding.
Talk about
that was my April Fool's prank.
I have a note in here that I wrote a name and I don't know who it is. So I just had a thought off the top of my head. One thing that I thought was I've been watching the Patriots documentary, as you know.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious why crowd surfing isn't more prevalent in football, like in the audience. Like, why doesn't anyone do any crowd surfing in sporting events?
Because everyone's either too drunk or too angry.
Yeah. Is it the anger?
I think it's the anger.
Like if some jabroni was being passed around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's a great point. Like, not everyone at the game is like there for the same reason. Like concert, they're like, we're all here because of, you know, Shia LaBeouf or whatever. And they're like, but if like a college game, maybe you could pull it off.
Maybe.
I guess that just, it was I was like, why? I feel like that would like really take off.
But that's the other part. Even at a college game, like everyone's so drunk, they're not going to be able to like pass someone around efficiently. Someone's going to get dropped. Yeah. Someone's going to get hurt.
And then it'll be a lawsuit.
I feel like when I went to college, right, and you always have the student section on one side or whatever.
Yep.
And I feel like there's a joke in there somewhere about someone. Everyone was really drunk, and some guy was trying to do that. And he was like, the joke became like later on, like everybody was laughing about it. It was like, put me up, you know? And like, he was trying to do that. And he was trying to get people to like lift him up and put him on, you know, and like crowd surf and stuff, but nobody was doing it.
Did you ever crowd surf?
No, I don't think so.
I definitely have never crowd surfed.
Yeah. I feel like there might have been one time at some like weird, like small concert party thing or something, maybe.
You're pretty tall for a crowd surf.
Yeah, right.
I remember one. This was also in college at a concert. There's this guy, and this is appropriate for St. Patrick's Day. His name is Kelly Murphy, and we kept just being like, Kelly, let's get you up there. And I don't know why we chose him. He's little, maybe, and we just kept putting him up there. And then he'd get back to us and he'd be like, guys, we'd be like, one more time. And we just do it like, must have done it like 17 times. He's like, guys, please stop. I don't want to go back up there. We're like, one more time, Kelly Murphy. I don't think I ever saw him again.
He just crowd surfed into disappearance?
Maybe. It was like crowd surfing abuse. Like, everyone got into it, too. Like, the guys behind us would be like, all right! And we'd get him. He'd be like, fuck no! And then he'd just disappear. And he'd come back. It was great.
Yeah, I never sort of got the crowd surfing thing.
No, I hate watching it. I get so stressed out. The girls especially, for obvious reasons. Mm. I haven't really been to many shows where they crowd surf. I've been to plenty of like mosh shows. Crowd surfing feels like it's more of like a Weezer, you know?
Yeah,
YouTube, it's a grunge thing. Yeah, it's like grunge brought like crowd surfing.
Yeah,
and then like a punk shows, which I've been to more of, and hardcore shows, people will like dive into the stage off the stage. You know,
right.
There's not like, I don't feel like crowd surfing is ever. It's kind of, I don't, maybe once in a while. And when I do see it, and it's like kids, I get pretty excited for them because they're like having a blast, you know.
Sure.
Like if you're like an all ages show and like teenagers are doing it, you're like, fuck yeah, like that, like live your life. But,
sure. Yeah, totally.
But there's definitely an expiration date on crowd surfing.
Oh yeah, it's like wearing your hat backwards. Like at a certain age, you got to stop doing it.
That's funny. I was just thinking about that this morning. I have this one hat that like doesn't really fit right, but it looks okay backwards. And I was like, maybe I'll do this.
There's an exception to the rule, I think, with that too. Some hats are made, I think, to be worn backwards.
Yeah, this
And it's got to only be, I think it's got to only be fitted ones too.
Yeah, this is a fitted.
Yeah.
It's definitely, girls can wear backwards hats that are not fitted for some reason.
Mm.
I don't know why. It like kind of works.
I don't know. I think it depends.
And like Silent J and Bob, that guy. But otherwise, like you got to go full Durst. Durst? Yeah. Full Durst.
Yeah.
Got to commit to the look.
Yeah.
But I think I would only do it like at home. I don't think I could never like leave with a backwards hat.
Yeah, walk down in public. Yeah.
It's too Ken Griffey Jr.
He's literally the only one that could do it.
Yeah. He could do it. What a funny thing to make your signature. Him, Fred Durst and Ken Griffey Jr.
Whoa. Listen, Griffey was doing it way before Fred Durst was, okay? So
I'm just saying that fucking
Fred Durst like copied it off of Griffey. Everybody wanted to be Griffey after he did it.
You think Durst got it off of Griffey?
Yeah, he came way after Griffey.
Yeah, but I mean Griffey wasn't the first person to put a hat on backwards. It's probably some coal miner. Coal miners do it. Or like welders. Welders were doing it. You got to wear them backwards for you're a welder.
Yeah. But Griffey was the first one that actually made it cool.
I've met a couple cool welders. Arc welders, those guys?
No, but his was like popularized because it drew national attention as also.
There's got to be a rapper that did it.
He did it
first
in the Home Run Derby, and people were like, whoa,
I know. The Home Run Derby was the thing. Mm-hmm. You don't think there was a rapper that did it first?
Maybe, probably.
I can't think of one, though. Like, I really... The backwards hat in hip hop is synonymous with goofy white dudes.
Unfortunately, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's usually how the progression goes.
Yeah.
Someone starts it somewhere. Nobody knows how things started. Someone else makes it cool and popular, and then the white guys ruin it.
Welders, Griffey, Durst. It's the welder, Griffey, Durst.
Yeah. Also, catchers. Catchers always wore the hats backwards too, so they could wear the face mask.
Yeah, but they don't have to anymore because they made a special. They don't
hat,
even wear
helmet.
Hat. Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. That's a yeah. letdown. Baseball just isn't the same, you know.
Mm. Hmm?
But as soon as they started integrating it, is when I stopped liking it.
Oh man, there was. Someone made this comment I read, because it's all about this is going to get too serious probably, but I'll try to keep this light, is that someone made the comment, about like all this, the DEI stuff, like in university. And the whatever I'm trying to say here is that there's a lot of states and governments and schools like in the South and stuff that are trying to get rid of DEI and stuff. And the diversity and inclusion and stuff of all people, and so they're trying to do away with that now and stuff in all these positions and people, and basically it affects people of color and whatnot. But someone made the comment is that maybe we should get rid of this in the form of sports. And so, stop including black people and people of color within professional sports or amateur sports or whatever, and see what happens and see if people like it then. Right? Because
segregated sports.
Yeah, basically, but in a sort of a reverse fashion, because it like right now it's in all sports.
So
it's
then,
all like 90%,
no,
at least 90, 95, 99%.
No white people get to play.
People. Yeah. So if we get rid of it, like white people aren't going to be playing, sports anymore, basically.
Yeah.
Because everybody else will form their own leagues, and those are the ones you want to go see and play with, and that's who's going to that's who everybody pays money to go see, kind of stuff.
Except baseball.
And I sort of lost my train of thought, like what we were originally talking
I know
about.
We were talking about how I made a joke about integrated, stop watching baseball as it's integrated. But it's funny you'd say that, because if black people stopped playing baseball, it would just be baseball.
Yeah, it would just be baseball. And nobody would be watching it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're one step ahead of the curve yet again.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I think it's actually kind of funny.
Well, it's not funny. It's tragic, but yes, I see what you're
saying.
In
a way, but yes.
I know what you're saying.
But yeah,
I would actually love,
because, so they're also like saying, because like places like Florida and Alabama, I think, and like Louisiana and all these places, they're getting rid of all these sort of positions that were created for what they kind of referred to as DEI. And
they want to just go back to like, basically.
Yeah, just hiring white people, basically, not having to feel like they have to hire like
you don't have
anybody else, even though they're the ones that are actually qualified or more qualified than anybody else is. But the point is that there's a small percentage of people like trying to create a movement of going like, okay, if you're going to do this, especially to these universities who sort of use and exploit.
Then let's resegregate the sports. And then you can watch it.
If you're going to do this at a university, then maybe the players and the athletes should reexamine where they want to go to school and which schools they want to sort of play at don't sort of help them or other people in these sort of areas.
I wonder though if that would even like I guess to an extent yes, but like people are always going to go to Alabama.
That's the problem, you know? Right? Right, because it's such a story program and stuff. But these days now, with like the NIL money and like all these kind of things where other people could pony up this money, like you could probably make a case about any time with all this kind of changing that it wouldn't be as far-fetched as you would thought about even 5 years ago.
Well, yeah, I know.
Right. And like, so like, yeah, so basically it's basically sort of like it's all the southern states. So like if everyone else moved either north or west and went to all these other colleges, which some are powerhouses in themselves, like it could really sort of change the landscape. And I find that so fascinating, interesting that, like you just said, like people just probably don't, you know, won't do that.
They won't.
Because it's ingrained in them. But
it's also like, I just keep looking at college football as the example for some reason, because it's like college football is the only thing that's close to as powerful as any of like the major league sports. And it's like, so the, like the ICC and the SEC, whatever, it's all so Southern driven.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. It's all Texas. It's all Although, Alabama. Like
the
it's all Nashville.
Because it's the Big Ten. They have a strong.
But like, they're like third strong, right? Like, and then
no,
everything. Well,
no, not as far, like the ACC is sort of a, they wish they were either like the SEC and the Big Ten have the most money.
So it's,
And I don't know if that's just I don't
so
know.
We're just Trump Bidening college football.
Actually, I think it's I don't know, a lot of that Midwest stuff is a lot of Trump too in there, so I don't know like what I think college football is very, very right wingish.
It's so funny, college football is so right wing, because and the best part of it is it's like most of the people didn't go to those colleges.
Mm-hmm.
They just ride or die with fucking Roll Tide. They're like, what? But it's a college team. It's pretty funny. Like I remember in the South, in Jacksonville, they're so pro Gators, but I don't think there's that many people that actually went to Florida.
I mean, it's a big school.
I don't know, man. Have you been to Jacksonville?
But you're right. There's a lot. I mean, growing up in Seattle and University of Washington and maybe half my friends that I sort of still know. Still really good friends with, went to UW.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not.
No, but the other half are all pro UW people, but they didn't go there.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I was...
Like, and they started winning football games, and they started winning, like, you know, whatever they were winning. You get all these texts, like, you know, or when it's the Apple Cup and it's Washington State, Washington, all these guys who didn't go to UW are all texting me, like, oh, yeah, Wazoo sucks, you know, go Huskies. I'm like, you didn't even fucking go there, man. Stop talking to me.
Yeah, I know, but I guess I do the same thing. Like, I root for Rutgers. I go to their games, you know?
Yeah, but you have a little more connection now to it, maybe.
Maybe. My wife went there. And, I mean, not really. She went to medical school. Rutgers. She didn't go to Rutgers. I got her dad. What are we talking about here? Yeah. She's not a dummy. But I loved Georgetown as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, we all had our favorite teams, like, growing up and stuff, too. College teams.
Yeah. I'm going to stop rooting for colleges in general. That's a good lead-in to the March Madness that's been going on.
Mm.
Have you felt madness yet? Are you mad? It's April. Are you still mad?
The
March Madness has seeped into April.
Well, it always has. It always does, doesn't it? Always the first week in April.
I don't fucking know. Does it?
Yeah, it's always the first weekend in April is the Final Four. I'm a little mad and I'm a little happy.
Why are you mad?
Because people keep fucking up the women's tournament.
What? What do you mean?
Did you not see this about the 3-point line?
Oh yeah, but
fucking janky ass motherfuckers.
I know it's so funny because it's like everyone's trying, like all the newcomers, the Johnny Come Latelys, are like, can you believe the women's tournament? I can't believe I'm watching the women's tournament. It's better than the men. Can you believe these women can shoot a basketball? And then the NCAA is still treating it like a fucking, they're like, I don't know. There's the lines wrong. Just play, do you want to play? They're like, well, what's the other option? They're like, not play. And they're like, all right, I guess we'll play on the broken court. Can you imagine if that happened in the men's tournament? It'd be fucking fire and brimstone.
It's an interesting, totally fire and brimstone, but it's also an interesting question too, because the women couldn't afford not to play that game on national television, right? That was an ABC game.
Right.
And if they didn't play it or they delayed it, they would have lost their broadcast window. Right. And so they would have been, whatever would happen. I don't know if they just wouldn't have shown the game after a certain point or whatever else.
Wide world of sports would have come on.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's shown like
ski jumping.
Yeah, exactly. But to your point though, if that happened to the men's, and so the women were like, listen, we know this is fucked up. This is absolute bullshit, but we're going to play this fucking game. We've already started this game. It's gonna sort of balance out some way to some degree up to for both teams because you're swapping sides of the court. I can't believe the men probably wouldn't do the same thing though, right?
I don't know. And the team. I guess it depends. I think like the Dukes, the UNCs, and whatever, they fucking wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, so but if they have the only thing I can think of though is their broadcast window. ESPN or CBS or something would go, you know what? We'll just delay this a half hour. We'll push off our other programming.
100%. Like they did, like it's an overtime or whatever.
Right. Yeah, I guess. And then
they get out there and repaint the fucking line or whatever it is. I wonder though, if there couldn't have been like a happy accident here. Like what if, like, if you did quarters instead of halves, like there was always like one side had like a shorter 3-point line. Or some, like, why does it have to be equal on both sides? It'd be funny if there was just like a random thing that was like one basket was a foot higher. Just you switch, but you're like, oh, I'm on the 11 foot rim this quarter.
Yeah. It's kind of like the wind in football where they're like, well, we're gonna kick off.
Yeah, this direction. The wind in football or the green wall or whatever the monster.
Right. Yeah. Odds park sizes in the baseball.
Because at the end of the day, they all had to play on the same amount of time on the same court.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think it happened. I think it was going on even the day before or 2 days before, like the other games. And I don't think people noticed it then.
Though, I think you gotta believe the guy that painted it was like he knew.
I mean, whoever that guy is, they threw him under the bus. They were like, "This is human error. This one guy didn't do his job."
Yeah.
So, oh man, you're the fucking company who did these.
I think he probably was like, "I bet you I can get away with this. We just gotta make it through like today." You know.
I'm gonna. What if he just hates women?
Probably. I mean,
women can't play basketball.
Yeah, like everyone else. Like, and the funny thing is like in that compliment, what I find is also like sort of a put down. It's like when people are like, I mean, I'm watching more women's basketball. Like every time everyone props up the women's game, it's always this like,
yeah, it's a backhanded compliment.
It's a backhanded compliment. It's like I'm surprised these girls can do anything,
pass and do all this thing
with
their
periods. Yeah. How are they even running? It's so fuck. I hate it. And I don't hate it on the like, I'm like, everybody get on board. Like, I get excited. Caitlin Clark, like, I'm supposed to go to a show tomorrow night. And I was like, hey, I kind of don't want to go to the show because I want to watch Iowa. I was talking to John Sargent. And he was like, oh, yeah, for sure. We should watch the game. Like, the game. He was like, yes. Like, that it's reached, to the point where. Absolutely, we'll just not go to the show and we'll go watch Caitlin Clark. Like, that's huge, like that's pretty amazing that you can say that and without anyone being like, girls,
I think my wife and I were just talking, I think yesterday or the day before, they're like, we might have some semblance of plans like on Sunday with some other friends and stuff, and I was like, what time? And she said, well, probably during the day, we might in the park or something or whatever. I was like, I'm not going to go. Like, the game's on at 3.
Yeah.
It's the championship game. Like, I'm not going. I don't want to go. I don't think I want to go and stuff. And she was like, okay.
I mean, it's not surprising to me to hear you say that. Like, I, the other morning, Monday, I was like, but it's fucking Iowa LSU, then UConn against Juju. Like, it's like I've got 5 hours of college basketball. And like not the first halves lived up better than the second halves, but still it was better than I think any men's game I've watched.
For sure.
I haven't watched a lot of men's tournaments, so I'm sure there's been plenty of like.
And I haven't, I mean, to be honest, I haven't watched a lot of women's either, though, right? Like, I'm not watching every single fucking game.
No, of course not. Of course not.
But I think they're, you know, we're giving them equal time. And by far, and I mean, a lot of people are noticing that now, too. That's become the theme over the last week or so, is everyone's like, oh, the women's tournament is much more interesting than men's tournament.
Well, I think that, like, the Angel Caitlin thing was pretty fucking real. And pretty awesome, and both those players were so good in that, at least in the first half, that like, and you can't deny it. Like, there's no denying it. Sure, the Caitlin Clark step backs are amazing, but like, she was like passing weird and was turning the ball over. Her passing is usually great, but like, then she was like in her head, and then it was like, how is she going to get back? And then she could like started really hitting, and the one thing that stays consistent in both the men's and the women's, especially college game. Is that referees fuck up the ending of every fucking game. Like, why does every game have to come to a screeching fucking halt? Why foul out Angel? Why is it referees assert themselves in the worst possible time, and it's always at the end, and it just makes the game completely lose any excitement.
I think it's 50-50 though, right? It's 50% the refs, and it's 50% the players and the coaches, right? Because one, they're amateurs, right? Or 99% of the team is amateurs. Like, they'll never go pro,
right?
And so they're much more prone, I think, to mental mistakes, right? And sort of stupid things. And even Angel Reese, like, I think that was a foul on her.
I don't,
right?
I don't think so. Even if it was, it's 50-50.
It was ticky-tack, or it was just ticky-tack.
You just don't call it.
Well, that's exactly, and that's on the refs. Like, they should probably know in the moment to like not force that if it's not an egregious foul, right? But then also you got to be consistent too, because then you got to make sure that like the Iowa woman who she also fouled out, like that was a pretty bad foul, I think, on her part too, though. But like you got to be able to make sure it's fair for both teams, and you're not sort of one-siding it then just because it's Angel Reese and she's one of the great players in the game right now.
I don't know.
But also to that point, it gets to be the coaches get to be a problem because they start over coaching, right? And they start calling timeouts and substitutions and trying to control the game too much, and instead of letting the players play and letting them make their own mistakes, because I think they're so afraid of the players making mistakes that they're trying to protect against that.
That's a great point.
Sort of bogs down the game.
That's a great point. That's not just exclusive to the college game though, because I watched the Sixers OKC game the other night, and the Sixers were just ready to give up. The OKC coach kept trying to like out coach Nick Nurse, and he was like trying all these different players and switches late in the game, and it was just ruining the flow of the game.
Yeah,
and then then Chet just got like completely like taken out of the game, and then they were just like hoping that like Isaiah Joe and Dort were gonna just shoot them into a win, and I was like, but they all these weird timeouts and all these weird switches against like it's the Sixers B team. I was like, you should have just fucking taken the 5-point lead. Maybe the Sixers make a shot, just run with the momentum. But the guy was just like trying to like overcoach, and it just stilted his team and created like just a barrier for them to get any sort of flow back.
I think that's a huge problem in sports now. Is that it's gotten like, we talked about this a while back, like I don't know, months ago or a year ago or something, is like getting rid of all the fucking timeouts at the end of the game with like within the last like 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah, but everyone like, wants them.
I guess it's probably so or whatever. But I think there's probably ways you can work around that. I mean, you could take timeouts up till like the 4 minute mark or whatever.
I think just get rid of fucking replay entirely.
Well, that too.
Like that would like then you could just have the dumb fucking timeouts and have the dumb calls by the refs. Right. But all this fucking reviewing,
honestly,
is so boring to me.
Honestly, we've talked about that in the past. We've both agree on that. Like getting rid of the reviews and all that stuff. But if they just stop reviewing it on television for us to see like 10 times, if they just give us one review, I'd even sort of be happy with that as a compromise, so I don't have to keep seeing the stupid play.
Yeah, but it's a mind fuck. It's a mind fuck. Like the other night, this is back to the Sixers. Kelly Oubre. It was a basically like he, you know, it's like one of those things where two people touch the ball at the same time and it goes out of bounds.
Yeah,
and they called it out on the other team, and then the other team whatever reviews it, and the announcers are like, "It's clearly out on the other guy, Paul George. It's clearly out on Paul George. Clearly out on Paul George. Clearly out on Paul George." And when they're saying it, you're like, "It's clearly out on Paul George." And then the referees are like, out on Kelly Oubre. And then they show it again, and they're like, oh, I see it now. And I even was like, I see it now. And I'm like, what a fucking, like, it's like that Mandela effect, right? That's what they call it. Like, where you're like, whatever you're being told, you, like, believe.
Yeah.
And then when once, like, the rule committee was like, nope. And I was like, oh, wait, maybe. I was like, well, then this is all fucking a little bit, like, arbitrary, right? Yeah. It's all depends on how your mind is looking at something. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, what the fuck are we even doing? Just fucking play the game.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like,
you can't get everything right all the time. And like, why does it only matter that you get everything exactly right, even though you don't, at the very end of the game?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
I think they're. I think in the we're back on the refs. I think the NFL they're just gonna. I think in the next 10 years they will just be able to challenge everything. I think challenging every play will be an option. I think there will be no limits to how many times a coach can challenge a call. And they'll just be faster at it. AI will just be like, you're right. Boop. I'm serious. I'm not even fucking joking, dude. We don't need a guy in a town.
The problem is the NFL and most sports are so anti modernization of anything that has to do with any of that kind of stuff.
But
like,
it still needs
a fucking chain, Chris. They're not going to go to AI.
I know, but AI would just be like,
They can't even have the guy.
They could still have the guy. They could still have the chain, but then when the coach is challenged, the AI just says over like it's Alexa, loudspeaker. Coach's challenge was correct.
It takes forever to implement anything with any new sort of technology.
But can you hear it? It would be like Hunger Games. Do you remember Hunger Games?
I do.
Like Katniss Everdeen, and you don't know where it's coming from. Like, it would just be that.
Cannon shoot off in the sky.
Yeah, it would just be like, pass interference, correct call, coach's challenge
amazing.
Fail. And
people
then you just move
that.
On.
They would
yeah,
eat
it
would, that shit up.
It would sound dope.
Yeah.
I mean, they could make but it more, they could, in Alabama, it could be like, coach's town, correct, Jimmy Tom. Hey, it's me, Jimmy Johnson. I'm still here.
It sounds wonderful, Chris. It's never going to happen, though.
It should. I know, but I disagree. I do think that, like, this new coach's challenge rule in the NFL is ushering a system of what will be there will be unlimited challenges. I really think that's going to happen.
I don't know. I think honestly, I think it would go the other way. I think they would just because at some point, even especially if they did that, I think it would take them like 2 to 3 years after they implemented your idea to just completely do away with replay then, because then it would just bog everything down so much.
I think that then it would be on the coaches to be like, or maybe. It's unlimited challenges, but you lose 10 yards if you get it wrong.
Great.
What about that?
Great.
That's a roll of the dice.
Yeah. I don't know.
I could fucking do without football, to be honest with you. So, like, just ruin it. I don't give a shit.
I sort of strip it back down a bit. I think. Well, all these things. With replay, with fouls.
Well, we can get off of it. We can get, because I want to get back to March Madness. The madness is happening. Madness is happening. So, Caitlin Clark. Is this Final Four, the talking women's now, is this Final Four the Final Four that you had hoped for?
For the women's side?
For the women's side, yeah.
I don't know. Hoped for is strong because I think to not have LSU, Iowa, as a matchup in the Final Four, I think is a disservice to the tournament.
Yeah. This
and I think they could have figured that out better. Like, don't put those two teams in. Like, that was I don't know if either the Final Four games or the championship one will have a higher rating than that Iowa LSU game.
I agree. But you know what? The game following had a really high rating too. It's like 6.7.
It did, but it was what, 7 or 8 million?
Yeah,
I think.
Still pretty high. I agree, though. Like, we deserve LSU, Iowa, and then UConn I'm excited for UConn, even though I was hoping USC. Like, I'm excited for UConn.
Is I can't remember now. Is who plays who in the Final Four?
SC, UConn, and then North Carolina,
NC State.
North Carolina. Yeah. No. Isn't it NC State?
Yeah. NC Iowa? State, South Carolina.
Oh, is it? It's Iowa, UConn? That seems odd. But yeah, I guess you're right. I think NC State's ruining both tournaments. I don't want NC State in either one. The NC State men's.
I'm okay with them. I like them.
Nah. They're just giving it away to the next team. There's no fucking way either one. They're getting either team's making it to the finals.
South Carolina is great. They're undefeated, but they're not super strong. Like they've had some shooting issues lately. Like they've been a little inconsistent. Their defense is kind of what's been carrying them, I think, for the most part. I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be shocked, but I wouldn't be surprised, I guess. And I don't know if that's the right way to say it, is that if they ended up if they lost an upset. NC State's a pretty strong team, and they have been for years. I don't think they've just ever gotten this far.
What about NC State? So the weird thing is, on the men's side, NC State, like, I think Purdue is a paper champion. I don't think they're that great. I don't think this, but based on literally one game I watched.
I know. And the fact that they're in the Final Four now gives me a little bit of pause.
You think they
can, that says maybe they're legit.
What do you think about UConn and UConn, like a UConn championship?
What about an NC State UConn matchup in both women's and men's?
That could happen. So currently,
that'd be crazy.
Yeah, it could happen. Currently, if you
it'd be bad for ratings, but
if you bet, you can parlay NC State tournament winner with NC State tournament winner. It's +28,800. So $100 would pay $28,000. I gotta do is win what, four games?
Yeah. Two games.
Yeah. I bet the UConn a while back.
I like that.
It was, yeah, but it was like +840.
Okay, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way to bet just the finals. It's like the way that DraftKings works, they're like, you can't do this, but you can do that. You can't do Like, there's no way to bet the NIT tournament. They weren't giving futures. They were only giving it game by game. So I just kept betting Indiana State. But I couldn't bet Seton Hall because I live in New Jersey. But it was obvious it was going to be Seton Hall and Indiana State. Like, the whole way through. So I just kept betting Indiana State to win. But they never gave a futures. Like, at the beginning of the tournament, they never, like, gave the option of Indiana State. Which I thought was weird because they do for college, for the other tournament. Like, they give fucking odds for everything. But for some reason, the NIT is like off limits.
Yeah, because it's probably not as big as, or maybe it's easier.
Who fucking cares? But,
well, you know.
You can handicap it however you want, DraftKings. It's up to us to decide if we want to bet it.
That's true.
And like the cool thing about Indiana, if you were watching it, like the NIT works the same way the women's tournament works, is that you play the favorite places home games at home, right?
Yeah.
Until you get to the semis. And then the semis or quarters of the NIT this year were in Indianapolis. So Indiana State's basically a home team throughout the whole thing.
Awesome.
Which was like a great, like, that's value. But you couldn't fucking bet it on goddamn DraftKings.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are.
It's disappointing. This whole betting thing is just, it's becoming more and more disappointing by the day.
Agreed. Like the gambling sites have made it so impossible to fucking like get an edge.
Yeah. Or have fun.
Yeah. Or have fun. And Jake sent me a long time for no time. Jake Cosden sent me an article. I think it was in The Athletic about, this kid who fucking Grambling State or whatever, like, I don't know, or some college, boring Georgia, like had an injury, la la la. But then they put him in at the end of the game and he hit a 3-pointer, which is like one of those magic college moments. It's like, oh my God, you have 4 years of suffering. You came into a tournament game and made a 3-pointer. But it pushed the line. And so the kid was getting death threats.
Of course.
And it's just like, fucked up. Yeah, it's totally, it's
out of control. Honestly, the more I read about these things and these stories, and there's a lot, I mean, that's one of hundreds.
Yeah.
Is that, yeah, all these players are, you know, sort of threats and heckled or ridiculed or just anger. Like, fuck you. You're the one that bet on this stupid fucking game.
Yeah.
Like, you should be mad at yourself.
Like, yeah, I don't get the personal vendetta shit. Like, also, yeah. But that's just like, people are fucking gross. Did you see, like, in one of the women's games, one of the women's college games, one of the players lost her wig. And so all the players, like, huddled around her and created a wall so that they could put her wig back on, even though the camera people were, like, desperate to get in there. It's like, fucking read the room, dick.
Yeah.
And it answered a question I've always had, like, what happens when a wig falls off? Because I've, like, watched it in the WNBA games, too, and I'm like, man, it seems like it would always be on your mind. It's like Andre Agassi, you know? Like, how did he play with a wig? It would always be on your mind.
Advance.
I know, but, like, it'd be like if you had to, like, shit at every golf tournament, and you're just like, I really have to shit. But then you play all 18 rounds. That's the kind of pressure I would feel. I would always be in the back of my mind. But
yeah, I couldn't think about the game. I would totally be out of the game.
Yeah. So if I was wearing, you know, so anyway, and I made the mistake of, like, someone sent me the link or whatever, and I made the mistake of looking at the comments, and it's just like, and it was just horrific.
Yeah.
And it, like, opens the door. So, like, there's an element of that. Like, there's the social media faceless, the tale as old as time now.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it, the exposing of America, but from that's just people being fucking sexist and racist and horrible. We're used to that. But death threats because you fucking lost a bet, like,
right? Because you put your life savings on a fucking game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mickey Mantle. Listen, Mickey, say you owe me 14 cracker dollars or whatever.
Crackle barrel bucks.
Give me some pickle bucks. You owe me a couple. Like, every time I'm trying to come up with an old timey slang for money, I'm almost saying something that's bad.
Yeah.
What are they called? Something backs?
Oh, greenbacks?
Greenbacks, thank you.
Yeah.
You know,
hopefully that's not a racist term, but
no, but the one that was, it probably is. Yeah. Anyway, it definitely is. Yeah. Greenback probably is like something Irish. Probably. Everything from that era is racist. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me go back because you brought up something and it was a question I actually was going to have for you and I forgot.
Great.
So you said, like, the NIT does sort of the home court advantage for the first couple rounds.
Yeah.
The women's do that as well.
Yeah.
Now, they just said, like, the NCAA came out, the women's tournament, like, president or whatever, whoever's in charge of the women's kind of league, just came out and said, hey, coming next year, we're going to reevaluate this. We're getting enough publicity and support on this that we might just sort of go like the men's tournament where it's every round is regional and not South Carolina probably won't play at home, you know, kind of thing on their home courts. Do you like that, or do you sort of like the way it's set up where they get the first couple games at home?
It's fucking dumb.
Is it?
Everyone going to Spokane so they could get fucking yelled at by racists? Like, I think, like, it's a nice thing to be like, you've earned the right to stay at home, especially because they're college students. And at least one of the team shouldn't be displaced in a fucking hotel while they're, quote unquote, supposed to be going to school, you know?
Right.
The fact
that they all showed up, I think,
and it's got to be
Tuesday or Wednesday of, like, you know, they're not playing until Friday, I guess. But I was like, there seemed like they're going there really early.
I think they've also just been to some shithole town randomly chosen for their conference tournaments, right?
Right.
Which I think that's awesome. Like, I remember conference tournaments, they're super fun because everyone goes and like, even in high school, you know, like, you have state, right?
Yep.
And it goes, like, that's so fun.
That was so fun.
Mm-hmm. But when it's just, I remember Pittsburgh would always get college games and you'd just walk around and be like, what do Stanford, Alabama, Seton Hall, and Northwestern fans have in common? They're all fucking tourists and they look lost and they all want to go to Primanti Brothers. Like, it's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know it's supposed to be like a way to boost the economy, you know, and I guess that's the NCAA gets a rip for that. And that's probably why they want to do it.
Probably.
But fucking, it's dumb.
I'm glad you brought up the Spokane thing, because I just read an article. Someone did an article about it. I don't know if it was on ESPN or not. Might have been on The Athletic. Is that because of the women's tournament does home court advantage for those first few rounds, Gonzaga, you know, they didn't realize they were getting that sort of regional game or home game until towards the end of the regular season. Right.
Right.
And hopefully I've kind of explained this correctly. So it's late. So So there was also, I think, college volleyball and some other, like, yeah. I don't know if it was like a conference or something was going on. Like, it was already booked months ahead of time in Spokane.
Right.
Right. And so all the hotels are already filled up.
Yep.
And then because of this women's tournament, like, this is how they do it. They don't book anything until like 2 weeks before the actual tournament fucking starts.
Yeah. Well, they could.
So then there's no room for these women or these teams or whoever it is to have places set up, especially in a place where Spokane, where hotels are limited, which I think is a fucking, like, you just, that's so fucking stupid to me. Like, you can't manage this properly at well advanced enough. Like, you can't just sort of pre-book. Like, I think you have an idea at least halfway through the season where you're like, hey, you know, like, Gonzaga's a pretty good team. They're probably going to
host. Gonzaga is a national powerhouse. They should just have a hold.
Right,
and then they can release
exactly
it if they don't make the turn.
Leading to. It's like, just at some point in the season, just start putting holds on hotels because, like, hey, we think this is where it's going to go. And every hotel I think that I know of that I've told you is like, up till like the day before you check in, you can cancel that hotel without any penalties.
Yeah, I promise you also that there were hotels. They just weren't probably.
They're not up to par. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of shitty hotels.
There is the Davenport. Oof. That's where we used to have to stay when we went to Spokane. It was like the classic old timey one, like haunted hotel. But it was actually just a huge piece of shit.
Right. Yes. Fucking. That's always the cover. It's like haunted. It just means it's a shit. I swear to God, I just look it up. Like every time that's they mention it, like this, oh, it's an old haunted hotel. It's like, no, it's just an old shitty hotel.
That is so funny. That's true. I wonder if there was like back in the day, there was like a publicist that was like. Wow, this is
just call it haunted.
First of all, there's been a murder here, so what are we going to do with that?
And they're like, there's like bad smells. People have been murdered or
died. Like, well, that murder, you know what the good side of a murder is?
Haunting.
Yeah, the undead spirit. So we're going to try that out, see what happens, and it fucking took off. You never go to like a haunted hot dog stand.
No, you don't.
Ghost weenies. Ghost weenies. Anyway, we only have a couple minutes left. I did want to mention quickly back on the women's thing. The Kings G League team.
Oh yes, I had this in my notes too.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Take it.
You started. This is all you.
Well, no, I don't have like all the appropriate information. I skimmed the article, but the Stockton Kings, I guess they're called.
Mm-hmm.
Are the first team to hire a female coach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the men's G League team. Mm-hmm.
Lindsay Harding is her name.
Right. There is wait, was she the first one to win the coach of the year or is she the first coach?
I think both maybe.
Yeah, so I think
she was named the G League's coach of the year first season.
Right. Which is a big deal because like a lot of weird shit happened. There was like a murder on the team or something like that. Like
I didn't see that.
Yeah, there was some other crazy thing. Not to make it about the Sixers, but she did start with the Sixers. So but yeah, then the Kings did the right thing. So congratulations to her. That's pretty amazing.
I think that was incredible. You know, they were also the best. I think they had the best record in the league, and they got the top playoff seed and stuff. So for her first year, I think is what's also impressive is like that's fucking amazing. That's awesome.
I didn't even know they had championships for the G League.
I didn't either. I had no idea.
I thought they're just like you're done. They're like good. Let's go home. But yeah, that's great. I mean, like, you know, but it's basketball as usual. Not that basketball has been perfect or any sport for that matter, but they're the ones breaking down the doors. And if it wasn't for Greg fucking Popovich, we'd be even further along. But because he just kept getting in Hammond's way, there's the obvious passing of the torch will go to Brett Brown.
Great.
Yeah.
Wait for that era.
Yeah, me too. But it's exciting. I think that this is not a fad. I'm pretty sure it's not a fad. I think that there are enough people. My friend Jen, who I met playing basketball, her daughter I think is like 11, and she like wouldn't let her sister wear purple underwear the night of the last the the last Iowa LSU game. Like, she's that locked into Caitlin Clark. All she does is play basketball. And that's not going to change. Like, this is the new, this is the generation that's going to matter in all of this. And so I don't think it's a fad. I when you go to Liberty games, it's clearly not a fad.
No, like, I am sort of worried, you know, because like Caitlin Clark leaves, Angel Reese leaves, a couple of these other players. Like,
I don't give a fuck about the college game. I'm talking about the pro game.
No, but I think as sort of the lineage of the popularity of the sport and stuff. The college game might take a dip next year because there's probably not as many good players, or hopefully some other players will sort of step up and become that. But I think we're sort of in this year of sort of iconic players.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Juju Watkins will be there. Paige Brucker's will be there next year as well.
Yeah,
they're the two that are going to have to
carry the torch a little bit.
Right. And there's a few others. Like, I think there's a couple other women on the LSU team and on South Carolina.
But I think the Caitlin Clark effect will, you'll see that, like, for better or for worse, people are going to start playing more of that style of basketball, and then there'll be the rare few that are amazing at it, and then the game will continue with great players.
Yeah. Yeah, I've already heard people talking about, like, their daughters, like you just said, like, are into it, playing basketball. They're, like, you know, they're outside or whatever, you know, like, wanting to be, like, whoever and all these things. And you're right. I think this is a monumental step up and forward for the evolution of players as well. And like what Caitlin Clark's doing on that court, like passing wise and like see the court vision and stuff. Like, I don't think we've seen that since like Sue Bird, to be honest with you.
No. And I'm just going to fucking, in the same breath that I said that gambling, especially on college sports, is bad, man, those Caitlin Clark assist overs have been real, real lucrative for me. Cause I don't think people know she passes that much.
Yeah, and I didn't even know you could bet on you could bet on her assists.
You could bet on her assists, and it's there. It's ripe. It's like plus 100, like over like 9 or something. Like, it's always right there. It's you bet that and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and you're pretty much gonna make money. You just parlay those two things over and over again.
We were trying to do this with WNBA like a couple years ago, like trying to find these market inefficiencies where we could take advantage of these things. And I think you just found one with Caitlin Clark's assist. And like, you're surprised they haven't taken them off the board yet already.
Yeah, the last one was +9. It was +9, which seems a little dicey. But I was like, she's getting double digits assists. And then she had a rough start of the game. She still fucking got it.
She still got it.
Man. But the idiots are betting like, oh yeah, she's gonna get another 40. And like that depends on how much of a heat check she feels like playing. Also, it depends on her shithead teammates. Man, those teammates are not that good.
Yeah.
They're bad.
Someone said, I think at the beginning of the year, something I read something about the team is that like they had a much better team last year when they went to the finals.
They did. And the thing is like the center position is rough. Their starting center, I can't remember her name, Skokie or something like that.
Yeah.
She's not great. She's okay.
She's effective.
Yeah.
She fouls a lot, I think, or gets in foul trouble.
But the backup, Grady, oof, that's a tough pill to swallow. A girl's just turning pink as she runs up and down the court. And like she shoots flat footed. This is not a thing to say about her build. It's just that she like it's a terrible option at backup. So if Skokie or whatever, Shoki gets in foul trouble, you gotta run Grady and that girl does not like she doesn't hold up against like real interior offenses. So
yeah.
Shooting sucks. Like Martin is like stepped up, but outside of that, it's kind of like, ugh, I don't know, man.
The only other one I keep thinking, like I think she's pretty good. She just doesn't get enough like chances or shots. Is Marshall?
Yeah, I agree, but I don't think she's. There's something weird. She's not getting enough shots.
Yeah,
maybe these players just feel like they can't. I don't know. I personally think Caitlin Clark might be tough to play with, and so that would be you'd be intimidated in that.
Yeah, I mean, she has to carry that team.
And she does, but there's like
she elevates those players too.
100%. But I think that like Steph Curry kind of like led the way. He's like, he's the perfect example of a player that like needs the ball, is gonna shoot, kind of like dominates the offense, but mm-hmm. has like ushered in other players and shown them how they can play together. Like somehow, like the Klay Thompsons and the Draymond Greens and whoever, Jordan Poole's, whoever come into the league, still, he still is MVP caliber, but those players can play with him. And I think that that's like pretty astonishing.
Yeah, I think they all have to be, they all have to realize that they have to be ready to sort of to play and to like either do and do whatever they need, like either shoot. They just have to be ready, you know, yeah. like on the court.
Yeah.
And like, because either that ball's, either she's shooting it or that ball's coming to you, and or you have to be in the right place. I don't know if all of them have sort of realized that or are capable of doing that.
So. Kaitlyn Clark's passing game in the WNBA is going to be what is truly amazing. She will be Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. With that said, we are out of time. Chris, fun one. I enjoyed it. April Fools, I didn't enjoy it.
You got me.
Have a good weekend or whatever.
You too, buddy. Bye.